so clean. 2011, 2012, new team. Got the whole world watching, coming witness. Shooting for the moon, taking risks, so we win big.
Welcome to the Fantasy 5 podcast, brought to you by FantasyPhenoms.com. Tonight we'll be talking some fantasy basketball, some players to take a look at, and tonight I'm joined by fantasy basketball expert Pat Cole. So Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks for having me tonight. Looking forward to our podcast that we have put together.
Yeah, we've got some good content on the site now with baseball starting up in a couple weeks, and then the basketball playoffs hitting. I know, Pat, you're bringing the fantasy basketball advice, and I've got some fantasy baseball articles coming out, so be sure to check out our site at fantasy-phenoms.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at fantasyphenoms with a Z instead of an S. All of our Twitter handles were taken, so you can find us there on Twitter, and let us know if you have any questions or anything you want us to talk about, and we'll definitely get back to you. So, with that said, Pat, you got anything else, or should we jump into it?
No, we can jump right in. I'm looking forward to talking about the fantasy basketball playoffs coming up. I know one of the leagues I'm in started this week, and I know a lot of them start up next week. So it's that crunch time here. If you're trying to get into the playoffs, you got to make some moves here. If you're already in the playoffs, you need to start thinking about what guys to add to your roster to make sure you have the best chance of getting those five categories you need. So we're going to run through a bunch of different players and scenarios to kind of help you out with that, and hopefully it benefits you guys in the playoffs.
Definitely. All right. So let's get some names going here. So we're going to start with some injury news here. You know, a lot of guys, some of this isn't news per se, but, you know, we've started to see the impact on rotations with these guys being injured. So we're going to start here with Danilo Gallinari in Denver, and he's definitely a long-term injury. So is he safe to drop? Let's start with that.
Yeah, I think he's pretty safe to drop right now. I mean, if you have an IR spot in your league and you have no one else on it, obviously you want to stash him. I think yesterday there was some news that said he's progressing nicely, but I think the original timetable was 3 to 4 weeks was kind of a pretty reasonable amount of time for him to be out. So even if that holds true, you're still looking at 2.5 or so more weeks until you actually get him back. So that might put you at the last week of the season. So we have seen a lot of other guys on Denver that have been impacted positively from his absence, because he's taking high teen-digit shots each game. Manuel Mendia has kind of put together a nice week and a half here. The last couple games, he's averaging 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. So that's a really nice line for him if you can put up with his turnovers and his poor shooting numbers. Those are some pretty good counting stats. And Gary Harris is playing 40 minutes a game and putting up nice numbers. DJ Augustine has actually been a pretty good addition for them too. If you need some assists, he's not a bad target. So the whole Denver team is kind of picking up the slack from Gallinari's absence. So some of those guys might be able to replace the points that Gallo was putting up.
All right, so now that we've heard about the fantasy impact with Danilo Gallinari going down and some guys who may benefit in Denver, we're going to move on to Milwaukee, where they've had a couple guards go down in the past week or so, with Michael Carter-Williams having some issues with his hip and knee, and O.J. Mayo also suffering a season-ending injury. So who do you see as a benefit in Milwaukee?
Yeah, Jared Bayless is definitely the one that's going to step up and play big minutes at point guard. He's really the only one on that roster that's been playing the point other than those two all year. But as far as his fantasy value goes, it's definitely going to improve. But I think the baby big three that I've been calling Chris Middleton, Antetokounmpo, and Jabari Parker, I think those guys are really going to see the biggest boost in value, because they're going to see a lot more of the Bucks' offensive role. And I know we both write for the Bucks for Fantasy Pros, so we're well-versed in their roster. But just from talking to you, I know you've seen some differences in Greg Monroe and Jabari Parker's play recently too, right?
Yeah, we'll start with the good news. Jabari Parker's really—he's gotten a lot of minutes. The Bucks have really pushed his role of late. I'm sure everyone's well aware of that by now. But you know, the thing that I really take as encouraging, yeah, the points. But that's obviously fantasy value. But I also look at—he's gotten a little better with his assists. That's been up and down, but he's shown the ability to rack up some assists, especially from the position. That's a nice get. And then also he's shown the ability to shoot the three ball, which, you know, he's still not prolific by any stretch, not averaging a very large amount over the season, but in the past five games or so, he started to hit a few, attempt a few, so if he could add some threes to his game or some assists, I mean, either one, if he can start to show either one of those with any consistency, that should really help his fantasy value, you know, looking forward for dynasty or keeper leagues.
Yeah, that's definitely true, and same thing with those other guys. I mean, Antetokounmpo and Middleton, on any given night, they can put up double-digit points, rebounds, and assists, but we've seen that consistency kind of come back with Antetokounmpo having a couple triple-doubles and Middleton putting up 6-7 rebounds and assists on a couple nights. So I think it's really going to be those three that are going to kind of take over that team, especially with Monroe kind of taking a backseat to those guys right now, and they're obviously out of the playoff race, so I think a lot of those guys are going to take the minutes and carry that team down the stretch.
Yeah, you touched on it a little bit, but Monroe, to get to the bad news, I mean, he's been a big disappointment, especially after the first part of the season. It seemed like every night when I was writing up a Bucks report for Fantasy Pros, Greg Monroe had a double-double with, you know, 16 to 20 points or so with 10 to 12 boards. That seemed like you could bank on it just about every night. And, you know, now, over the past five games or so, I think he's down to about 12 points and 9 boards. So he's really taken a back seat. His minutes have been down. His field goal attempts have been down. Everything's been down. And, you know, I wouldn't bench him on a regular basis, but on, you know, nights where you have a full lineup, it might start to be a time to take a look at the matchups and see what you know you need in your matchups to win. And if you're not going to get those things from Monroe, you can start to sit him, and not be as disappointed when he puts up a big night, because it hasn't been as consistent.
Yeah, kind of going the opposite route of what we were talking about in Denver, where a lot of those guys that are playing better are good, like, league pickups for your playoffs here, with Harris not being very widely owned, DJ Augustine hardly being owned in any leagues at all. With the Milwaukee guys, there's not a whole lot that you're going to pick up, but it's more understanding that impact of the players for your daily games. That Monroe was a good pick earlier in the year for your daily games, but he's really not anymore. And I know some of the other guys are getting expensive. Jabari Parker's getting up there. Antetokounmpo's approaching $9,000. They're getting expensive, but knowing that those guys are going to have a much bigger role night in and night out kind of makes you give them a hard look when you're building your daily rosters.
Definitely. All right, so now that we've seen that impact, let's move on to New Orleans, where Eric Gordon has hurt himself again. He came back for a little, a 3 or 4 game stretch, but he has now refractured the finger that was bothering him initially. So he'll be out for quite a while, 6 to 8 weeks. So I think it's time. I think I can safely say it's time to drop him. And after that, who's going to see the benefit from his void in minutes that he's left behind?
Yeah, a couple of bad luck injuries. I mean, Holiday, like you said, not Holiday, sorry, Eric Gordon with the exact same injury. I didn't mention it, but O.J. Mayo fell down the stairs at his house and broke his legs. So a couple of freak injuries here late in the season playing a role here. But getting back to your question, in New Orleans, I think Drew Holiday, without a doubt, is going to have the biggest jump in value. I mean, we saw that already when Tyreke Evans went down and before Gordon came back. He's still coming off the bench, or he was coming off the bench, was still putting up pretty solid numbers. And then in the first game after Gordon injured himself again, Holiday put up 38 points and I think 6 assists. So he really exploded, and you know that's not going to continue at the same extent, but he's going to get a lot of fantasy value. And Norris Cole might not be the best player in the world, but he gets plenty of minutes at point guard, and he's definitely going to continue seeing that value he had when Gordon was out and Tyreke Evans was. So the two of them are really going to pick it up. I think Anthony Davis is going to carry that team the next couple weeks here. I know their coach is saying they want to start relying on him more late in the game, and I think they're 8 games out of the playoffs right now, but that organization isn't backing down. They're trying to make a push here. Even with all these injuries, it's going to be hard, but they're still not content on just giving up with a season. So a couple guys there are going to carry the load for them.
All right, so there we go. That's the situation in New Orleans. And now in Miami, we have a little bit of positive news coming out about Chris Bosh. He's trying to return this season. you know, he's optimistic. I believe he was checked by an independent doctor, but the Miami Heat doctors have yet to clear him, and he will not be returning into action until they do so. So with that said, what do you see? Is Chris Bosh going to be coming back this season? And if not, who are you looking for in the meantime?
It seems like one of those things no one really knows about. I haven't heard confident news either way. Earlier in the week, they were saying they were doubt he would return again this year, just kind of for his own health. But now, like you said, it sounds like there's more optimism. So kind of goes back to the same thing with Gallo. I mean, if you have an IR spot, you obviously don't want to get rid of him. But if you run into a situation where you have another guy get hurt who's kind of day-to-day and you can't afford to be missing out on those games, then, yeah, maybe you're going to pull the trigger on Bosh and risk it and hope you win one round or make the playoffs. But I think the best advice is if your team can hold on, just kind of hang on to him and see what happens here, because he's obviously not someone you want to lose. He gets you rebounds, he shoots threes, he scores points, he's a valuable asset. But that's one of those weird situations that we're not really sure how it's going to play out.
Right, yeah, it's pretty uncertain at this point, especially, you know, with the Heat, I think, officially coming out and basically saying our doctors haven't checked him out and he's not coming back until they do. So obviously, you know, it's a serious issue he's facing and they're going to be pretty careful with him, it seems like. So now we'll move on to Memphis, where their entire team is hurt, basically. You know, we have Mike Conley, who's kind of had a lingering thing going on here the past, you know, week or so. he's questionable for Friday. That was going to clear the way for Mario Chalmers to get some fantasy value. The Mario Chalmers ended up rupturing his Achilles. He's out for the year, obviously, with that. And, you know, he's, we saw what happened with Brandon Jennings. That was the impact it had on him last year and returning this year. So, you know, Mario Chalmers could be in jeopardy for quite a bit of time. And then we've got some other lingering issues with Matt Barnes and Zach Randolph, who, you know, they both seem more like day-to-day type of injuries. So what do you make of all this stuff going on in Memphis?
Yeah, there's a lot to be made of it.
Yeah, there certainly is.
But before I get into that, if you're listening, you should go check out our Fantasy Phenom's Twitter handle. I'll credit CBS Sports NBA for this one. They put up a pretty funny picture with drawing red X's through the faces of basically everyone on their team, because they're probably only going to have 8-9 guys on their bench tomorrow. But anyway, like you said, there's a lot going on. As far as the ones that are injured, Mike Conley's day-to-day, and hopefully he's coming back soon for those of you who own him, so you don't want to do anything with him yet. Same with Zach Randolph. It's just kind of two lingering issues that hopefully will go away soon. But until that happens, and even when they do come back, there's a few guys that have exploded lately that you definitely want to take a look at. My personal favorite, Tony Allen. When they got rid of a couple guys at the trade deadline, I thought he was going to step up in a big way for them, but he ended up getting hurt right after that and only came back to his first game on Monday, I think it was. So I'm just pulling up his numbers here real quick, but he basically won you a lot of money in daily if you played him on Monday. He had 26 points, 5 steals, 4 assists. That was a pretty solid game, and then he came back and backed it up on Wednesday with 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Those are pretty good numbers for someone on that team that's that deep in the roster, and obviously he's not owned in pretty much any league, so if you need some points and some steals, he's going to get you a steal almost every single game, so he definitely has some value. And I know J. Michael Green, he's kind of stepped up as one of their big men, which is kind of funny, but they don't have any big men, so he's playing those minutes and he's getting rebounds, so those are definitely my two favorites. But yeah, that's kind of a situation where you don't really know what that team's going to look like every day because they have so many guys that just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Green, you know, he's a guy I picked up on my dynasty team in the league that I'm in with you, and, you know, that was kind of a lucky grab, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but it's really started to pan out for me. Like you said, he's been a great source of boards, you know, in the past few games, but he's also put up some decent points with 17. He's put up 17 points in 2 of his last 3 games and 16 in the 3rd game. So, you know, that's obviously valuable for now. Who knows what his role will be, you know, with these injuries and who's coming and going. But for right now, he could be an interesting guy to grab, as you mentioned. So with that said, we're going to make a little transition here to some more guys who are making a pretty big impact right now. These are more of you know, daily game kind of plays. They're going to be highly owned in any season-long league, and most of them won't be available at all. But we still wanted to make note of some guys who have been pretty hot in the past. In their past five games, we looked at that stretch. Some of them not so surprising. Others, you know, taking a nice step up from what we've seen throughout the season. So we're going to start with a rookie, D'Angelo Russell from the Lakers. So in his past five games, he's really turned it on. He's averaging almost 24 points a game with 3.5 threes per game. And then, you know, contributing nicely in the assists and steal department as well. So what do you see in D'Angelo Russell?
I like him a lot to close out the year, especially just what you said about his numbers. He's basically doubling his points and threes and almost his assist averages, his season averages. He's almost doubled those in the last, what did you say, five games?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think there's a few reasons for that. Lou Williams has been out recently, so he's gotten a lot more playing time and definitely assumed a larger role in the backcourt. And I think Kobe Bryant, too, kind of coming to a close for him here. He's sat out a couple games. He's, when he does play, he's also not taking the same number of shots each game. I know, I think he was taking like 18 per game coming into the last month here, and he's only taken 9 a game. So it's giving those young guys a chance to take more of a role. And we've seen Julius Randle playing well, too, and I think he's definitely going to be a guy that plays really well these last couple weeks of the season. And like you said, he's not going to be someone you can go pick up for your playoffs. But when you're looking at your DFS games, he's someone you should definitely target because he's playing so big of a role in that Lakers offense.
Yeah, so to transition into another guy who's definitely not going to be available in your season-long leagues, we'll take a look at James Harden, and he's been obviously very good all season. But over the past five games, he's really stepped it up, averaging close to a triple-double with 9.2 assists, 7.4 boards, and then obviously he's in the double digits with points. He's over 30 at a very nice 34 points a game. He's also chipped in 1.8 steals. So James Harden, obviously always good, but is he a guy that you're going to put up the you know, big cash that you're going to need in your salary cap to have him in your daily leagues?
Yeah, if I'm playing against him, I'm definitely going to be fearing the beard. He's been an animal lately. He's really fun to watch, too. But he's obviously one of the most expensive guys, but when he's putting up numbers like that as consistent, it's hard to not look at him. I think one of the best things he has going for him as far as his daily value goes is that he's carrying his team more than the other top guys are. I mean, the guys like Russell Westbrook and Durant, they're obviously going to put up huge numbers every night, but they have a lot more options on that team. Steph Curry is insane, but like once again, a lot more options. Whereas with Harden, I think he's gonna kind of put the team on his back here and try to get them into the playoffs. They're only a game and a half or two games ahead of Utah for the eighth seed in the West. So you know he's gonna be the closer for them. He's gonna have the ball in his hands pretty much the entire fourth quarter, and I expect these numbers to continue. Not at the same rate for another month, but I think pretty close.
All right, so that's the story with James Harden, and now we'll move on to, you know, a guy we kind of touched on a little bit, but Giannis in Milwaukee. I will not butcher his last name. I'll leave that to you. You've got that one down, but he's also a guy who's come close to some triple-double production with, you know, not quite as impressive with the points, but 22 points a game, 8 boards, 8 assists, 2.5 steals, and 1.5 blocks in his past five games. So, wow, those are some great numbers. So what do you think about Giannis?
Yeah, obviously I like him a lot. I touched on him earlier. I think personally I'm a little more likely to spend the bigger bucks for some of the other guys, like James Harden or a Durant or someone like that, just because I think they're playing more consistently. I know the last five games, Antetokounmpo has been playing ridiculous. I mean, you just outlined the numbers for us. But I think the chances of those continuing are less likely than the other superstars of the NBA doing what they normally do. So I'm not as excited about him in daily, especially because he's now up to around $9,000. I think it was $8,900 last night. So I would shy away from him a little bit, but obviously, he's a guy that might get you 70 fantasy points on any night. So It kind of depends on your style, but for me personally, I'm probably not going to spend on him.
All right, so our last guy who we're going to highlight especially hot performances of late is Alex Len, who's finally found consistent role in the rotation with the Suns, with the new coaching staff taking over there. And, in his past five games, he's averaging 19 points, 13 boards, two assists, and one block. So that's also a pretty nice line. So with Len's, consistent role finally there, what do you see with him?
Yeah, I think he's the most likely to continue putting up these numbers. He's got six straight double-doubles. The Suns offense, it doesn't run through him, but he's obviously the guy that they go to right now. I know Brandon Knight's coming back, but I think Len's still going to have a big role. He's definitely a lot better than an aging Tyson Chandler. So he finally got his chance to prove his worth lately and definitely made the most of his opportunity. So he's been snagged in most of your season-long leagues, so you're not going to be able to go get him for the playoffs. But definitely a good target to be looking at for daily games. A lot of that Suns team is either hurt or got traded. So I think he's going to see plenty of minutes. And like you said, he's putting up huge numbers. He's taking, 14 shots a game over the last 2 weeks. So I think that kind of shows you that that's going to keep up, and he's definitely capable of putting up those numbers each night.
All right, so there we go. So those are the guys that have been real hot of late that you maybe want to look at or shy away from because of their rising cost in some daily games. So now we're going to move on to guys who have seen an uptick in their minutes in that same span of five games or so, some improving their performance as well, but we're focusing mostly on the minutes here. So we're going to start, with a guy who's not going to be available in most season-long leagues. But, maybe you're in that lucky league where he was dropped for some reason, so check it out. But Trevor Ariza, a teammate of James Harden, he's 82.5% owned. But he's averaging 38.8 minutes in his last five games, so, almost 40 minutes. I know you actually have him on one of your season-long teams, so what do you see with Ariza here?
Yeah, I like him a lot. He was kind of one of my later picks in the draft, but the way I built my team, I really liked him. He's going to frustrate you some nights because he doesn't put up huge numbers every single night. I mean, I think in his last, 13 games, he has six single-digit performances, but you don't have him on your team for his scoring output. You have him because he hits threes. He gets you a steal every game. I think I'm just looking here. In his last 14 games, he has at least two steals in every single game. So that's not something that many players are capable of doing. And when you need to win five categories, if you have a couple guys like Ariza who are going to get you steals, that's huge. And then just piggybacking off my high praise of Harden lately, with the way he's playing, the other guys in the court are obviously going to get open. And Harden's dishing out almost 10 assists a game. And a lot of those are going to Ariza. He's driving to the hoop, and Ariza's camping out in the corner there, and he's going to hit those threes. So I like him a lot. You just have to be a little patient because sometimes he's not going to show up. But when he does show up, he deals in a big way.
All right, so now let's move to another guy who's, pretty similar to Ariza with the production that he'll give you in Robert Covington. He's a little less owned, so there's a greater chance that he'll be available in some of your leagues. He's owned at nearly 63%, but he's averaged 35 minutes in his last five games. A guy who, like you said, with Ariza is going to hit some threes and, kick in some other stats as well. So what do you see with Covington?
Yeah, like you said, definitely a very similar player. I like Ariza more. I know owning people on Philadelphia can also be frustrating. They're not going to provide the same value as someone from Houston will, but I think he's underappreciated. He does knock down a lot of threes and also gets steals. As far as his role in the offense, it's definitely not as big as someone you'd like to have. But if you're trying to add someone at this point in the season, there aren't that many that are better than him for those categories that I mentioned before. So I think he's definitely going to close out the year playing well. I mean, they don't have a lot of guys that are great scoring for them, especially with Okafor being injured. And I know Noel hasn't been playing that great lately. I think you have him on your team, right?
Yep.
So that's one of those cases where he's kind of one of the better players on a bad team, and you're gonna get some good ones and you're gonna get some bad ones. But it's really all about how you have your roster created, what categories you're trying to win. if you have a big man roster, I'm definitely not going to look into adding Covington. If you have a roster that's getting you steals and shooting threes, then yeah, obviously he's someone you're going to want on your team. So just got to make sure you know what you're trying to get and how you're trying to win your league.
All right, so now to a guy who will provide more of the big man stats, we're going to go to Nikola Jokic in Denver. He's currently owned in 62% of leagues, so pretty similar to Covington. So, you know, a decent shot that he'll be on your wire. He has played 27 minutes in his last five games. You know, another guy who kind of had some inconsistent minutes with all the bigs there in Denver. So now that he's seen some consistent minutes and put up some pretty good performances, what do you think?
I think he's a great target for you. Kind of going back to what I was saying about Gallinari being injured, he's one of the guys that's also picked up some of the slack. I know he's not a flashy player, but when you have the big man, he's going to get a lot of boards. He's going to get you points. I wanted to look at the last couple weeks. He's taking 10 shots a game, so I know he's kind of shot up the boards as far as being owned in season-long leagues, but most of them still don't have them, so if you're looking for big men, go get them, especially the way Denver's playing their big men. Joffrey LaVerne and Nurkic haven't really played at all the last three games, and they've kind of been relying solely on Jokic, so definitely a good target for big men if you need them.
All right, so moving on to a couple guys who will be widely available, and probably for good reason, but we're going to touch on them anyways. We'll start with Ronnie Price here in Phoenix. So he's gotten some real big minutes and put up some good performances. Multiple threes in all of his past three games. So, again, not huge point production, as he's only had about 11 points per game in those three games. But do you see these minutes continuing for Price, and what's his value?
I think if you asked me that question tomorrow, we would have a much better idea because like I said, Brandon Knight is on the verge of returning, and it sounds like last I checked he was questionable for tonight. But as long as he is out, yeah, those minutes are going to continue, and I think those numbers are going to continue. When Knight comes back, assuming he's fully healthy, then they're going to go down. I don't expect Brandon Knight to jump in and play 37 minutes a game like he's averaging for the year. So, you know, Ronnie Price is definitely going to get his fair share of time. But until he comes back, I think he's a great daily target that's still really cheap. And for a couple games here or there, if you're trying to sneak into your playoffs, you need some assists, I think he's a great guy to go out and get.
All right, so we're going to end on maybe a not-so-strong note here. We're going to take a look at Markel Brown of the Nets. So, you know, he had a decent hot streak here at the beginning of the week. He was hot for two games, and then, you know, last game against Toronto, not so much. So obviously, he's not a household name, but he seems to be getting a shot in New Jersey. Are you going to take a shot on him?
You know, that's a great question, Dan. the reason I say that, the way those Brooklyn guys play, there's you have Brook Lopez, who you know is going to go out and score 20-plus points tonight. Thaddeus Young is going to do his thing. And then after that, there's so many guys that may or may not show up. If you're just going down the roster, looking at the shooting guards on that team, I know Wayne Ellington was kind of thought to be the guy that was going to step in for them. They had a couple people go down. They lost. They cut Joe Johnson. So everyone was trying to figure out who was going to fill that role. And Ellington and Markel Brown kind of popped up as some names. So as far as it's been going lately, I would definitely take a shot on Markel Brown over Wayne Ellington. But he's definitely not going to be at the top of my must-add list. So a good player to look at, and obviously, like you said, he had a couple of those games where he broke out, but I don't think that's going to continue. So that's kind of like the New England Patriots running backs where you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, yeah, that's a nightmare. So if you're saying that, then maybe I will not be rushing out to get Markel Brown on my team's
situation.
Yeah, I avoid Patriots running backs at all costs. So that'll give us actually a nice transition, you know, to give us some things to tell you, the listeners, you know, what we've got planned coming up. So we're going to shoot for some, you know, there's been a lot of news with the NFL free agency, so we're going to shoot for an NFL podcast. You know, taking an early look, obviously we won't have too many details just yet, but taking an early look at what we see for the guys who have moved teams, what kind of fantasy impact that may have for them. So that will hopefully be sometime next week. We've got some baseball stuff. Like I said, Pat and I have been working hard on our projections for baseball. We've got those just about wrapped up. We've done a bunch of the positions already, so go check those out if you haven't yet at fantasyphenoms.com, again, with a dash in the name between fantasy and phenom. So be sure to check out our site. And anything else, Pat?
No, I think you covered it. Just excited to get more of this content rolled out on our website, and definitely excited with the way free agency has started off for the NFL to dig into that deeper. And then be sure, if you have any questions, let us know. We're here to help. Best of luck to everyone with fantasy basketball playoffs coming up. And then we'll obviously be helping out with the drafts as baseball gets underway.
All right, sounds good. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Phenoms with the Z. Check out our site and check us out on iTunes. We're having a little bit of a technical difficulty there with iTunes right now, but this podcast will hopefully be up and the rest of them up on iTunes soon. So thanks for listening, and you know, if you have any questions, like Pat said, send them our way, and we'll be hearing from us again soon.
Definitely. Thanks for hosting, Dan, and thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time. Alright, thanks, Pat. Got the whole world watching, coming witness. Shooting for the moon, taking risks, so we win big. Wolfing in the grave, but I'm living so big and I'm digging so deep. Kept running through the pain, got my hands on the wheel. Little swerve, little blaze, still amazed. Catching checks, putting words on the page. And I'm 25 today with a mindset like I'm 45 or retiring. Hands up like you hearing sirens. Lining up you haters and a motherfucking firing. Blah.